Leading us in worship, Matt. It is an absolute joy to be with you this morning. Good morning, Seven Oaks Alliance Church. It is an absolute privilege to bring greetings to you from our district family, from our district superintendent, Mark Peters. And let me just say this. You just need to know how much of a privilege it is for us to actually be in a room with people, walking you through these important moments in the life of the church, and I will argue in a few minutes, important moments in the life of the congregation here at Seven Oaks Alliance. Thank you for leading well in the middle of difficult times. We recognize, as you do, that we minister, we serve, we lead in unprecedented, strange times. And so a gathering like this, for me, being able to stand with you, to be able to worship with you. Thanks, Matt, for asking me to step in. It's just a joy, and it's a privilege. Again, my name is Dwayne Taves. I'm one of our assistant district superintendents, and my responsibility in the district office is overseeing something called leader development. So I have the privilege of walking with men and women who are exploring a call to pastoral ministry. So that typically starts late high school, early, college, university days, through to about 7, 8, 9 years into one's pastoral journey, sometimes a little bit longer. And so I get to come alongside churches. I get to walk alongside of pastors as they explore their call to ministry, as they lean into the giftings and the unique call that God places on their lives. And so it's a joy to be here. And as we unpack ordination for a few minutes, I'll just be blunt. I don't want you to tune out. I don't want you to sit there and think that this is something for Pastor Brian and Pastor Zach, and there's nothing here for me. Because God uniquely gifts us, each one of us. He uniquely calls each one of us. And there may be something he wants to say to you this morning as you're sitting here and you're listening. And so for a few minutes, we get to do something that we don't do often. We get to connect God's redemptive work in the world, his desire to fix what is broken, his desire to restore relationship with humankind. We get to connect that to the role of pastor, in particular, Pastor Brian Robertson and Pastor Zach Meisenheimer. We get to think about that for a few minutes because God made the world good. We know that to be true. Read the account in Genesis. God made the world good. And we as humankind did a pretty good job of messing that up. And at the heart of God's redeeming work, at the heart of God's restoration work is something called the incarnation, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you're familiar with the biblical narrative, you know that after the resurrection, what happens? Jesus ascends to be with his Father in heaven. And we read in Acts chapter 2, something really profound happens. The Holy Spirit is given. And really in that moment, the church is divinely created. And then as we read Paul's letters throughout the New Testament, we come to understand pretty quickly that we as humankind, we can't do the work that God has called us to on our own. It's hard. I mean, just think back to the last 2 years. Apart from the Holy Spirit's working in and through each one of you, it's pretty hard to carry on the work that God has called us to. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or Romans chapter 12 or in particular Ephesians chapter 4. That God gives gifts to those he has called for gospel proclamation ministry. And so some are called to be prophets. Some are called to be teachers. Some are called to be apostles. The longer that I have been in pastoral ministry, the more I realize that there are some pastors who teach really, really well. There are some prophets who have apostolic giftings. God unpacks the gifts in our lives as he sees fit, which gives me a lot of comfort. Which brings us to today, ordination. Now, how many of you have been in an ordination service before? Okay, about 50-50 in here. So let me, for those of you who haven't, let me bring you up to speed on what ordination is as it's defined by the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada, because there's a role here for you. This is where I said, don't tune out. There's a role here for you, because ordination is the affirmation by the body of Christ, that's you, that the ones being ordained, that's Pastor Zach and Pastor Brian, that the ones being ordained are gifted and called by Jesus Christ to gospel proclamation ministry. You, the congregation here at Seven Oaks Alliance Church, are saying, we see something in Brian and in Zach. We believe in the ministry and in the giftings that God has given these two individuals to proclaim his name in the city of Abbotsford and beyond. We, the congregation, recognize that and we affirm that. This thing called ordination is not what gives Pastor Brian and Zach the ability to preach and teach. That happens through another process that they've already walked through called licensing. They're probably pretty happy not to walk through that again. This does not give them the ability or permission to preside over sacraments like communion or baptism. That's what licensing does. But this is an affirmation that you and others who I will mention are recognizing that God has uniquely gifted these two men for gospel proclamation ministry. And we stand and we affirm that. And so these giftings, this calling, has been affirmed by the Licensing and Ordination Committee in the Canadian Pacific District, which I chair. It's a group of 12 men and women across our province that have been part of their journey in some way, shape, or form. This calling, these giftings have been affirmed by our, it's been affirmed by your Board of Elders here at Seven Oaks Alliance. It's been affirmed by your lead pastor, Jamie Fox. It's been affirmed by our, it's been affirmed by two district superintendents, one who you know well, Errol Rempel, who is enjoying retirement. And it's also been affirmed by our new district superintendent, Mark Peters. And it has been affirmed by our denominational president, Keith Taylor. For just a few minutes, let me explain to you what Brian and Zach have gone through to get to this moment. Because maybe over their ordination journey, you may have said, you know, they're not responding as quickly on the phone as they used to. They seem a little more standoffish than they might be. They seem like they're under a little bit of pressure. Well, they were under some pressure. Ordination in the Canadian Pacific District involves 18 different assignments. So they had to read 10 different books, write book reports on each one of those, submit them to me. I'm sure they thoroughly enjoyed each one of them. They're nodding. That's good. They had to write 4 major theological papers on various subjects that were graded by the L&O committee. And let me just say, Brian, I'm not sure I've ever had an ordinand in my 10 years of marking papers that is more thorough, more on point, and wrote theological, basically dissertations that were to the level that I received from you. They were fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And then when all of that was done, they had to come before an ordination committee, and I had the privilege of chairing both Zach's and Brian's ordination interview. And this is a 2-hour theological conversation where we tell the ordinands that here are the 268 questions to study, but anything and everything is possible for us to ask. And Zach, I remember some conversations with you prior where you were pretty nervous going into the interview. Let me just say it was the easiest yes our committee has probably ever made. You did so well. Brian, you did so well. A lot of times when we get done those interviews, we go into deliberation, and that can take us a long time. When we went into deliberation, it was, well, did we actually need to put them outside the Zoom room to pull them back in? It was solid. And let me just say to the congregation, it wasn't that these guys had just memorized answers. Most people can memorize answers given enough time to do so. We were absolutely blown away by how theology had moved from head to heart. And as these two gentlemen talked about what God was doing in their lives, in their ministry, what he had done in their life, we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had uniquely gifted and called them to this ministry. And so when I get asked the question from time to time, how are our churches doing? And I get asked that question a lot, given the landscape that we're currently pastoring in. I can say unequivocally to you that Seven Oaks Alliance Church is in great hands. You're in great hands. And so it is an absolute privilege to be here. And so for just a few minutes, I want to invite Brian and Sumitra, and I want to invite Zach and Cheryl to join me up on the stage. We've got a couple of, or four stools for you guys to sit on, and I'm going to have a conversation with them. But again, this is a moment for the congregation here, so I want you to pay attention to the call on their lives, because it's not that much different than the call upon your lives and my life. And so, Zach and Brian, it's a joy to be here. It's been a journey to get here, but here we are. Allow me to read these words from Pastor Paul, from Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians over you. This is what he says. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries that God has revealed. Key word being entrusted. Now it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Paul says, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any other human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, Paul says, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. And at that time, each will receive their praise from God. So Zach and Brian, you have been entrusted with gifts. You've been entrusted with a calling. And God's gracious invitation to both of you and your duty is to fulfill that trust. It's to fulfill that trust. You are stewards of this calling and these giftings. And when I study the word steward, the primary characteristic of that word is faithfulness. You are to be faithful to the calling that God has given you. We are to be faithful to the calling that God has placed on all of our lives. And so here's the amazing news, and I know you know this conceptually. You don't have to do this alone. All of heaven's resources are at your disposal as we lean in, as we lean in. And so I want to encourage both of you, and I'm sure the board here would say the same thing. Work hard. Work really hard. But don't worship your work. Don't worship your work. Zach, love and serve your wife, Cheryl. And in doing so, you model for those you lead what the love of Christ is all about. Brian, love and serve your wife, Sumitra. And in doing so, you demonstrate to everyone here, everyone watching online, what the love of Christ is all about. Your families, your kids, young or old, need their dad fully engaged. It doesn't end just because you're in pastoral ministry. And so both of you continue to grow in skill. Ordination isn't the end of the journey. It's actually kind of the beginning of a journey. So keep learning, but understand that Holy Spirit anointing is way more important than any skill you're ever going to develop or grow in your life on your own. Preach and teach the word of God, not the word of Brian or Zach. Keep studying the book. Don't stop just because you passed an interview. Keep diving in. Keep leaning in. And then when you move to verses 3 and 4, you are charged with keeping a clear conscience. Learn to cultivate a listening ear to the voice of the Spirit. Always lead from that posture. And again, demonstrating to your congregation that you serve what it means to be Spirit-led. That's my charge to you. Brian and Zach, it's an honor. It's a privilege to be here, to be able to give you this charge, to be able to stand with you in affirming that God has and will continue to do great things through your ministry as you lean into Him and His Spirit. And so I bless both of you, and I congratulate both of you today. Well done, well done, well done. At this time, I want to invite Pastor Jamie and Bert to join us up on the stage. And Bert's representing the board, and Jamie's representing the pastoral staff. I'm going to have the four of you stand up, and just going to kind of move out to the front, and we want to pray for you. And so if you're here in the sanctuary, I'd invite you to stand. Even if you're at home, I would invite you to stand if you're watching online. And as we pray, as Matt led us earlier, maybe you just want to hold out your hands, palms raised up, affirming what we're about to pray over Zach and Brian. So let's pray together.
Thank you. Reading from God's Word, from Philippians chapter 1, 9 to 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Brian and for Zach, for what they have come to mean to us as a staff team. We thank you for the giftedness that they bring, the love that they bring, the friendship that they bring. We want to pray this morning in the name of Jesus on behalf of our staff team that you would fill them afresh with your Spirit, that you would pour out your blessing upon them. God, I want to pray that the household of the Meisenheimers and the Robertsons would receive a special measure of your shalom, your peace, to rest upon them, to fill them, to guide them, to love them, to protect them. And Lord, I want to pray for both of my brothers here and just pray, Lord, at this season of their ministry and in the days, the weeks, the months ahead, if there are new gifts that you need to impart to them, if there are new insights that they need, if there is a new measure of wisdom that you need to give them, if there is a new insight, then we just want to pray, oh Lord, that you would indeed, by your Spirit, enable that to occur. Would you fill them with your Spirit? Would you gift them and strengthen them for this new season? Thank you for who they are. Bless them. Guide them. Direct them. Go before them. Go above them. Go below them. Behind them. Around them. And their families. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, we recognize that you raise up leaders to shepherd your flock in the various communities in our country, in our province. And so thank you for raising up Brian and Zach to serve here. Thank you for the gifts that you've given them. Thank you for what you have done and what you will do in and through them. And as has already been prayed, God, I just ask that you would place a hedge of protection around them and their families. God, would you lead them into the places that you want them to go? Would you shine your light on the path that you want them to walk? And in all that they do, and all that they say, and all that they proclaim, would they bring honor and glory to your name, Jesus? And so we bless them. We thank you for them. And we ask that you be glorified in and through them. In your name I pray, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So we've almost brought this to a conclusion, but I'll start with Brian. So on behalf of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada, on behalf of our president, Keith Taylor, it's my privilege to declare to you today, and I don't know if you've been using the title thus far, but in this moment, you are officially Reverend Brian Robertson. There's your certificate. Well done, buddy. Well done. And Zach, I know you had your interview a little while ago, but this does my heart good, man, to be here. And it's my privilege to declare to you, with your family, with your congregation here, that you are officially Reverend Zachary Meisenheimer. Well done. Well done, buddy. Well done. Well done.
Dwayne mentioned that among the assignments that we had to do was the writing of three theological papers. And one of the papers that we had to write was on the theology of the church. Now, the guidelines for ordination candidates are that these papers should be approximately 3,000 to 4,000 words in length. The paper that I eventually submitted to Duane was 17,000 words in length. And I just want to take this opportunity to once again publicly apologize to Duane for inflicting that on him. Now, this may come probably and probably will come as a surprise to many of you because you know me to be a man of few words. But one of the reasons why it took me 17,000 words to coherently put down on paper my understanding of the church is because I spend a lot of time reading about, studying, thinking about the theology and the nature of the church. And I do this because I love the church. Now, I'm not naive about the church. Over the course of my life, I have been the member of six different church congregations in six different denominations. So I'm not naive about the mistakes, the flaws, the weaknesses, the failings of the church. But I love the church because I love Christ's idea for the church. This is one of the most extraordinary mysteries in all of our understanding of who God is and what he's done, that Christ's plan for after he ascended, after he rose and ascended and took up his place at the right hand of his Father, his plan was that everyone who would come to hear of him and believe in him would be filled with his Spirit, and then the Spirit would connect all of those people together. He would connect all of us to each other. And this collectivity of followers of Jesus Christ would, through a mystery which no amount of reading or study or writing of unnecessarily long papers could possibly explain to us, we have become his body. We're his body. This is such an extraordinary thing. And what it tells me is that being a follower of Jesus Christ is a group activity. It's a group activity. It's not an individual thing. Now, calling to pastoral ministry is a deeply personal thing, deeply personal, but it doesn't have any meaning outside of the context of you, the church family, the church. And so I am absolutely convicted. I'm absolutely convinced that God has called me to pastoral ministry. When I started my formal training to be a pastor a little over 11 years ago, it was after a 7-year-long argument with God that I lost. I argued strongly for a number of years that me being a pastor was a bad idea, and God made his position on this really clear to me. I know that my brother Zach also has absolute confidence that God has called him to pastoral ministry. But what's happening here today, as Duane explained so beautifully, what's happening today is that God is once again affirming for us that he's called us to serve him. And he's affirming it through his body, through you. And I want you to know this morning that we hear that affirmation, we receive it, we honor it, and we're humbled by it. Thank you.
As I was journeying through middle and high school, I had there were some ideals about where my life was going. I had hopes, and I had plans. But when I was about 15 years old, I began to sense God's calling on my life in a more specific way than I had ever known before. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I've never had such a clear understanding of what God wanted me to do and his calling on my life to be a pastor. As I was coming to grip with this new trajectory of my life that God was leading me on, one night I had a dream, and I'm not really much of a dreamer, but I had a dream, and it was a simple dream, and I don't remember all the details. But what I do remember about it was I was standing in front of a group of people proclaiming the good news that is the gospel. This knowledge shaped my life. The courses I took, the courses I didn't take in my remaining years in secondary school, choosing to leave my home in Ontario to go to Canadian Bible College in Regina, this was at God's beckoning. This was not my plan. But he used those years in Saskatchewan to continue to mold me and to prepare me for how he wanted to work in and through my life for his glory. In the fall of 2001, I began my internship at Coquitlam Alliance, and I still remember being overwhelmed in those first few weeks of how much I felt at home and all the things that I was learning and all the things that I was doing. On a Sunday morning, they interviewed me in order for the church family to better get to know who I was and who was this intern, what is he doing. And they asked me a bunch of questions, but one of them they said, how are things going, Zach? You've been here for a few weeks. How are things going? And I remember saying, you know, I feel a little bit like 12-year-old Jesus at the end of Luke chapter 2. You know, his parents have lost track of them. They've been in Jerusalem for the festival, the Passover, and they realize he's not traveling back with them. They head back to Jerusalem, and they find Jesus in the temple. And Jesus is like, says to his parents, you know, I'm here in my Father's house. Jesus is like, this is where I belong. And I said, I feel like I am where I belong. And I remember the pastor that morning who was interviewing me, I think, made some kind of joke about how they had a lot of work to do with me because I was starting to think that I was Jesus. But for the better part of the last two decades, it has been the greatest privilege of my life to serve the church. I love the church. I love the church that Brian described for us this morning. I'm passionate about sharing the story of who God is, what he has done, who we are in light of that, and how he invites us to be a part of what he's doing in this world. It is an immense blessing to have God's calling on my life affirmed by our church and our denomination this morning. I'm grateful for the process of ordination and the people that I got to walk through it with, especially my family, our pastoral team, present, and actually some of the people from our past pastoral team. I'm so thankful for it. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for our church family here. One of my favorite pictures of the church has already been referenced this morning, is that it is the body. We are a body. And every body is made up of many parts. We all are called by God to be a different part of the body. And my prayer this week has been that for those of you who are in community here with us at Seven Oaks, if you don't know what God is calling you to be, or how God is calling you to be a part of his mission to this world, what part of the body he's calling you to play, that you would be just encouraged to seek the Lord in that. Because I wholeheartedly believe that you will not regret that. You will not regret following God's call for your life. Amen. Thank you.